You can take your Bibles and turn to Nehemiah chapter 13. Well, let's stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. And I do thank you so much for being here tonight. It is a good group of folks, and what a joy to have you here. Nehemiah chapter 13. I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. These first 14 verses here of Nehemiah chapter 13. It says, on that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. And before this, Eliashib the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah. And he had prepared for him a great chamber, where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense, and the vessels, and the tithes of the corn, the new wine, and the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the offerings of the priests. But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem. For in the 2 and 13th year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king. And I came to Jerusalem and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers. And thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God, the meat offering, and the frankincense. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. For the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled every one to his field. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then brought all Judah, the tithe of the corn, and the new wine, and the oil unto the treasuries. And I made the treasurers over the treasuries, Shelemiah, the priest, was on the other line, and Zadok the scribe, and of the Levites, Pedaiah, and next to them was Hanan, the son of Zakur, and the son of Mattaniah, for they were counted faithful, and their office was ready, was to distribute unto their brethren. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. So as we kind of enter this last chapter, and for those of you that are visiting, you have come in the last several weeks to our church, we've been going through the book of Nehemiah for quite some time now. I think since last summer, I think is right. But we've been taking our time going through and just studying. It's a book of building. It's a book of restoration. It's a book of revival and being close to God. And you know what? We need that in our churches, don't we? We need that in our own lives, day by day, year by year. And that's something that we need. Just to kind of give you a recount of how things have gone so far, the wall had been completed. A great victory had been won by the hardworking people under the leadership of Nehemiah. God chose Nehemiah. You can call him God's man. You can call him whatever you want to call him. But God chose him to do this work. He put in a burden in his heart for these things. And allowed him to be the one leading the people to observe the things of God. And to restore not only the wall, but then we also learned in chapters 8 through 11, there was an emphasis on rebuilding the spiritual walls of their lives. Restoring things, getting things back in order, getting back to the precepts and the statutes and the judgments and the testimonies and the Word of God. They began Bible reading and Bible study. It resulted in conviction of sin and repentance. Great revival broke out and broke loose in the city, and the people returned to the requirements and the worship of and the tithing and the care of the things of God. And in chapter 12, we saw that the wall was dedicated and there was great joy throughout the city. The dedication service was a time of purification. Was anything that God was presented to God should be purified, should be clean, should be upright, should be the way God wants it to be. There was much thanksgiving. There was much singing. Special offerings and sacrifices were offered unto God with thanksgiving. They read from the Word of God. They did all these things, and they had this wonderful thing going. It was vibrant. It was lively. It was the way God would want it to be. Jerusalem was kind of, if you will, restored to its glory. Why? Because the people were once again worshiping God as they should. You say, but Pastor, wasn't Jerusalem restored to its glory because the walls were rebuilt and the gates were set back up and the doors were hung on the posts? And isn't that why? No, that's not why. It was restored because the people were restored to their God. It was great again because they had come back to God. Because they had done what was necessary to spark revival and to light those fires and to keep them burning. Now we get to chapter 13. I want you to look here at verse 1. We read it just a moment ago. But he says here that on that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people. And therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever. Okay, so they're reading along, they're studying the Word of God, right? They're getting through these things, and listen, it's great. They're acknowledging stuff, they're putting things in position, they're doing things. But you understand, in this short period of time, however long it was, we don't know exactly, but we do know that it wasn't obviously long enough for them to read all of it. I mean, you said, but Pastor, they read for like hours at a time. Yes, they did. But how much time does it take? Now, obviously, you hadn't read this before. Because I want you to go back to the beginning here of Nehemiah as they're going through here. And they introduce to us these people. As they come to the land of Jerusalem, and they get in here, and they come up and they meet this guy. Look at verse 10 of chapter 2. We have Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the what? Ammonite. They knew this guy. He was kin, wasn't he? Somehow he had married into the family. Why they let this guy marry into the family? I have no idea. Why didn't they kick him out before? I have no idea. Sometimes blood is thicker than water, I guess. But you know what? They read in the book of the law that this was not to be the case. They said, hey, that they read there that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever. Well, here's Tobiah. We know that Eliashib, before they read this, had provided a place for Tobiah to dwell in, where? What was he the keeper of? Oh, he was the keeper of the chamber of the house of our God. So here's Tobiah taking over a room in the temple. You see, I have a five head. That's why it makes that good sound. You know, most people have a four head. I have a five head. See, all five fingers fit. You never knew that before, did you? Okay. No! That's not supposed to happen. How did they let this happen? They had done so much to cleanse everything, to make everything pure. And now they're letting a guy come in, and He's an Ammonite. He's not even supposed to be there, let alone for that reason. But what about all the things that he did? What about all the dissension and all the deceptiveness and all the evil things and the threatenings? And you're going to let this, I mean, who is this Eliashib? What is he thinking? He's a priest. Now, listen, I could maybe just on a outside whim allow that just a common person from the tribe of Reuben or the tribe of Asher or this tribe or that tribe or whatever, okay, they didn't know any better. They hadn't read the scriptures for years and hundreds of years. Maybe even during their time born in captivity, they hadn't even seen the word of God. I'll give them that. Maybe they didn't even know, because it's been 400 years. They didn't even know that Ammonites were not supposed to be part of the children of Israel. And he allowed him to stay in a room in his home. I wouldn't crucify this guy over this. I wouldn't. I wouldn't be upset with him. You got to give him the benefit of that. All right, so, you know what? You made a mistake. Let's get it fixed. Get it right. Get it done with. Hey, they've been here before, folks. Over in Ezra, in chapter 10, Ezra the priest stood up and said to them, "Ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now therefore make confession unto the Lord your God, Lord the God of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives." Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, "As thou hast said, we, so must we do." Okay, listen to me. Wow! I don't think it matters that if they were a strange wife or not. They were a wife to these people. And in many cases, they had children. And Ezra the priest is pretty bold and says, "Hey, you got to leave these folks. It's right to leave them. And put them away. Separate yourselves. You're not supposed to be with them." I mean, say goodbye to your little babies. Say goodbye to this woman that you loved. I mean, that's rough. That's tough. But what did they do? "We must do this." They were on board. And yet, this guy is getting a chamber in the house of the Lord? And Eliashib, the priest, this guy that has been reading the scriptures with Ezra in front of the people, they've been stirring this revival. And listen, don't miss this. We find out later that in verse 6, Nehemiah was gone for a time. It tells us that in the 2 and 13th year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, he says, "Came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king." So he went for a short reporting period. Okay? He went back to Babylon, reported to the king, was there for a few days, and then he returned back to Jerusalem. So folks, listen, he wasn't gone that long. Maybe a month, maybe 2 months, something like that. But he wasn't gone that long. And listen to me. In that short period of time, Eliashib has this harebrained idea to give a chamber of the house of God to an Ammonite. You want to hear the slap again? Yeah. So he says, yeah. No! Bad idea. Bad idea. Folks, we need to learn something. That whether or not the man of God is able to or there to oversee things, we ought to follow the word of God. Eliashib should have never done this. Now, we don't know his motive. We don't know the reason why he did this. But the fact is that he didn't do it till after Nehemiah had left. So maybe he was waiting for Nehemiah to leave. I don't know. I'm not going to judge the man's motives. All I know is what he did was very, very, very dumb. No, Eliashib, you should have never have done that. And he gave him the chamber where these things were supposed to be kept. It says where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense, the vessels, the tithes of the corn, the new wine. Hey, he gave this chamber to this man so they could no longer put those things in that chamber. So guess what they stopped doing? They stopped collecting them. Nehemiah restarted the collecting of these things to support the singers and the porters and the Levites and the things that God had intended. And then this Eliashib, as soon as Nehemiah leaves, he says, I'm going to give this chamber here to this guy. Because he's an upright and noble individual. And I don't know what he told the people. Or maybe they didn't even know. But maybe they started coming and Eliashib the priest, he's like, well, you know what, folks? You better stop bringing these things in because we don't have room for them anymore. And they stopped collecting these things. Or they stopped bringing them. Something went amiss. Because when Nehemiah got back, in verse 10 it says, I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. For the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled everyone to his field. So they were no longer being supported in the house of God. So they left. They stopped singing. They stopped watching the doors. They stopped serving God, doing the things in the service of the temple because they needed to feed their families. Because the things were not being brought in because this chamber was being used as a house for this guy. Someone who was not even part of the people of God. And if you will, even if he was adopted in, should not have been because of his nationality. Hey, Pastor, don't touch that one. Hot topic. Folks, that's not racism. God said, you people denied my people, so you're cut off forever. That's God's judgment. That's not my judgment. That wasn't Nehemiah's judgment. They read it in the book and they said, he's not even supposed to be here. It was a problem. When Nehemiah returned, he made it right. He says it came to Jerusalem and understood of the evil. He said this thing that Eliashib did was evil. Folks, I'm not the one being critical of Eliashib. You've heard me call him names, if you will, saying that that his choices were not very smart. That's not on me. That's what God says. It was evil what he did unto Tobiah. That he even allowed this man to take up residence in the house of God when he should not have even been there. In preparing the chamber of the courts, in the courts of the house of God. It says, and it grieved me sore. Nehemiah got upset. You know what he did? He went into the chamber and he took all the household stuff of Tobiah and threw it out. Hey, he evicted him. Get out of here. You don't belong. Now remember, Nehemiah's had dealings with Tobiah before. He had no problem. Actually, you know what? I think he rather enjoyed it a little bit. He's like, man, you have caused me so much grief. And now, even after we've had this great revival and things have been restored, somehow you're like a bad penny. You just keep coming back. So I'm going to kick you out again. I'm reading into that, okay? You understand. But it sure seems like his sentiment, doesn't it? Not only that, he commanded that they cleansed the chambers. He's like, someone that is unclean has been here. Now listen, it wasn't because Tobiah was physically dirty. It's because he was spiritually dirty. He was stinking up the place. And not in a physical manner. Okay, they didn't necessarily break out the Lysol and the disinfectant spray and you know, to clean up the chamber of the house of God. That's not what it was about. It was a spiritual cleansing. He said, hey, this evil, this wrong has been done. Eliashib should have never have done this. And it is now hindering our revival. The singers and the Levites have gone back to their fields. They've stopped serving God. They hadn't been serving God. They were shown how they should serve God and how God would provide for them. And now all of a sudden, that provision has stopped. And so now they've gone back to their fields and away from the house of God. Oh no! We got to cleanse this place. We got to make this right. I found out about it, and now we need to make it right. Folks, listen, in our churches, in our personal lives, and in our homes, this is going to happen from time to time. Sometime we're going to be Eliashib. And we're going to carve out a space in our life. And we're going to carve out a space in our homes. And we're going to carve out a space in our church and give it to someone that doesn't belong there. And then along will come the man of God, or a voice of reason, or maybe the prodding of the Holy Spirit of God and saying, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have carved out that place or given that space over to that, because they don't belong here. God says they don't belong here. You need to kick it out. You need to cleanse it and fill it back up with the things that do belong there. That's what happened here. Nehemiah commanded it. Nehemiah. I just made up a new guy. Nehemiah. I was going to say Nehemiah commanded, but it came out Nehemiah. So there you go. That's how it works. Nehemiah commanded, and they cleansed the chambers. And listen to this. And thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God with the meat offering and the frankincense. He said, I restored it back to what it was supposed to be. Folks, that's what we need to in our lives. In verse 11, he contended with the rulers and say, why is the house of God forsaken? He came to them and he said, hey, why did you let Eliashib do this? Why did you let these offerings to cease? And when you saw the Levites and the singers going back to their fields, why didn't that raise a little red flag? Why didn't you go to the house of God and ask questions and say, hey, Eliashib, you're the one in charge of the things here in the house of God. Why are the Levites leaving? And why are the singers going back to their fields? Do they not have enough provision? He's like, hey, rulers. He said, I contended with them. He said, hey, I came back. I've been on a long journey. And I noticed this was wrong. Why didn't you notice this was wrong? You know what's great? The preacher's not going to notice everything. I count on some good Christians, some good people in this church to notice some things sometimes. Hey, maybe just a little red flag. You don't have to go accusing people and you don't have to go kicking people out. That's not what I'm talking about. But you ought to, if there's a little red flag here, maybe you just ought to say, hey, preacher, is this the way it's supposed to be? Is this what's supposed to be happening? And listen, we can come with a meek and quiet spirit. We can do things the right way. It's not okay to say, hey, is this right? That's okay. I won't take offense to that. I'm the least offendable person in the world, I promise. But listen, I need some help. Nehemiah went to these guys and said, hey, you're the rulers. What's the matter with you? Why didn't you say something? You know, sometimes my children will come to me and they'll tell us, me and my wife, and they'll tell us something that's wrong. Because moms and dads, we don't see everything, do we? I wish we did, but we don't. But they'll come to me and they'll say, well, this is happening. And we'll ask the age-old question, well, how long has this been happening? Oh, for months. Years. And like, well, why didn't you tell us? Well, I don't know. Some of you are laughing because you've heard this before.
Well, how could we deal with it if we don't know about it?
Yeah.
Listen, Nehemiah's like, hey, what's wrong with you? Well, he contended with them, and he said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. There. Took care of business. Listen, remember how Nehemiah, he was the one with the burden. He came in. And at first he didn't show them all that was on his heart. But bit by bit he began to reveal what God had stirred him up about. And he began to lead them and train them and show them and then incorporate the Word of God and the putting things back in order to God's design. And if you will, we through the book of Nehemiah, you're seeing all these pieces fall into line, and the physical and the spiritual, and it's just a beautiful harmony of things, and boom, revival bursts out. He goes away for a little while. And guess what always pops up? Nonsense. The old devil pops up. You've heard the term, right? When the cat's away, the mice will play. Death to all the mice, okay? Y'all aren't mice, okay? No. The mice need to do what mice do, right? Otherwise, the cat's going to take care of them. Now, he sets them in their place. He says, no, you weren't supposed to do this. I'm going to make this right. This was not the right way to do. And he did that. He set him in his place. Then, furthermore, look at verse 12. He brought all Judah the tithe of the corn and new wine and the oil into the treasuries. He said, I made treasurers over the treasuries. And these men, they were counted faithful, and their office was to distribute unto their brethren. He said, okay, you rulers weren't wise enough to manage this thing, so I'm going to appoint some people to be accountable to do this. So Nehemiah is back in control, he's back in leadership, and he's ordering things the way they ought to be ordered. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul warns the Corinthians. He says, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You think God wants things to be done in a certain way? You think God wants a Tobiah in the chambers of your heart? You think God wants a Tobiah messing up the blessings of God? Sending away those that are supposed to be there? Hey, listen to me. The Holy Spirit of God will never leave you. But you can cram Him into the furthest recesses of your life when you start putting other things in your life that don't belong there. It can happen. It does happen. And you know what? He'll just kind of sit there. He's not going to make you clean up your life. He'll just kind of tuck back into the corner. Well, at first he may speak up, hey, don't do that. You shouldn't do that. No, don't do that. Oh, no, not more stuff. No. Don't. Oh, please don't. No. Oh, well, you know, you really shouldn't. You shouldn't do that. Please don't do that. You ought to follow God. You ought to get right. No, not more. Not more stuff. No, not more. And he's just getting quieter and quieter and quieter. God's God warns against it. Paul told the Corinthians, don't do this. There's no place for this. Let God be the ruler of your life. Let your life be clean. Let that chamber be cleansed. Let it be what it's supposed to be for. Don't fill it with other stuff. Don't let other things get in there. In Romans chapter 8, we're warned not to walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We're warned that if we are after the flesh and mind the things of the flesh, that is dangerous, that is death, and that we cannot be both. We can't ride the fence. We can't have the revival and Tobiah in the chamber at the same time. Can't do it. Can't happen. We know that if we're in the flesh, we cannot please God. Paul says, but we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Folks, listen. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit of God to fill us. That chamber was supposed to be for a purpose. It was supposed to be cleansed and sanctified and filled with the things that the people of God had brought in for the service of the house of God. And Nehemiah even asked the people, the rulers, he said, why is the house of God forsaken? Can I ask today, if we're the temple of the Holy Ghost, as the Bible says that we are, maybe sometimes some of us need to ask the question, why is the house of God forsaken? And I'm not talking about Lighthouse Baptist Church. I'm talking about your life. Or my life. Hey, Eliashib, what have you done? What evil have you done allowing this Tobiah to come dwell in a place where he had no business being? Some of the reason why this took place. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 through 4, the Bible says we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Listen to this. Lest at any time we should let them slip. Folks, we got to make sure we don't let things slip in our lives. What did Israel do? And you say, but Pastor, it seems like it was just this one guy. No, he may have had the idea. And again, we don't know his motives. We don't know what happened. All we know is that it did happen. But listen, the rulers were there. They didn't ask questions. As far as we know, the Levites and the singers were there. They just decided to up and leave and go to their fields and provide for themselves. We don't know if they challenged Eliashib on this. We have no idea. All we know is that the people of Israel allowed the house of God to be forsaken. In the midst of a great revival. And listen, as we started the beginning of the chapter, we noticed that they were reading these things. They were still reading the Word of God. They were still going about the motions and the actions and things, but this sin had crept in unawares. They had given place to the devil, and it was destroying them from the inside out. We've got to beware. We must give them more earnest heed, lest at any time we should let them slip. Over in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter said, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be the partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's a wonderful thing. That sounds like the revival that they were having in Jerusalem. Yes, it does. They were supposed to add to our faith and all these things, right? All this stuff. He goes on and he says, for these, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. That happens to us sometimes, doesn't it? James put it this way. We look at ourselves in the mirror and we forget what manner of man we were. Just read through history of Israel. What do you see? You see a roller coaster. And even in this short time here in that Nehemiah was gone, we could guess, let's say it was 3 months. All this took place. And it kind of just took a big old cold bucket of water and just threw it on those fires of revival. And Nehemiah had to come in and he had to get the kindling back together and he had to get the starter wood back together and he had to kind of get the coals, blow on the coals a little bit and okay, let's get it going again. We've got to be careful not to be Eliashib. Not to allow a Tobiah to come in where he doesn't belong. We need to be like Nehemiah. Be willing to kind of be the one to sound the alarm. Reset, puts the reset button. Get things going again. And listen, maybe we're the Eliashib and we need to quit being Eliashib and start being a Nehemiah. Maybe somebody else is the one that's the cause. It doesn't matter. We must ask ourselves the question, why is the house of God forsaken? Maybe it's personal. You should ask yourself, hey, you, hey, yeah, dummy, you. Why are you letting your temple of the Holy Ghost being forsaken? Why are you allowing the Spirit of God to live in filth? Why are you making Him live in here? It needs to be cleansed. The vessels of God need to be brought back in. The frankincense and the different things that belong here need to be in here. Nehemiah kind of ends this portion and just says this. Remember me, O my God, concerning this. In other words, he's saying, God, you know this wasn't my fault. I set everything in order, went away, this happened, I came back, I took care of it. He said, God, remember me concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. In other words, basically saying, hey, Lord, don't lay this to my charge. This happened while I was gone. You know the details. He said, I love the house of God. I love these people. I want Jerusalem to be a shining light. I want the revival fires to continue burning. He said, Lord, remember me concerning this. Folks, we need to be a Nehemiah. We need to be a fixer of these things. And really the gist of the lesson tonight, I hope you notice that bad things can take place. Backsliding can happen. Bad decisions can happen in our lives. Don't quit there. Nehemiah could have got back to the city and said, oh, here they go again. History's repeating itself. I'm going back to the king. I've tried my best. I rebuilt the wall. I established a revival. And I've only been gone 3 months. And these knuckleheads are doing it again. God, kill them all. He could have done that. Remember, I told you before, I'm just glad Moses and God never got on the same page. Because at one time, God wanted to kill them all. And Moses said, no, God, you can't do that. And then Moses wanted to kill them all. God, kill them all. No, Moses, I can't do that. I'm glad they never got together. We wouldn't have the children of Israel if that was the case. We'd have the children of Moses. No, that wasn't Nehemiah's heart. It wasn't the kind of man Nehemiah was. He wasn't a quitter. Don't you be a quitter. You may have allowed a Tobiah into the chambers of your heart or into your family. Or maybe somehow you've allowed him into the local church. Maybe it's just, instead of quitting, we can get it right. We can cleanse things. We can set things in order. And you know what? We can even go beyond and set up some accountability to help that to not happen again. That's what Nehemiah chose to do. And that's what we can do.